So is every Christian called to support Israel financially or Jewish ministry financially in one way or another? And if so, where is your Jewish ministry money going?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, I know what day of the week it is because it is Thoroughly Jewish Thursday. That's how I keep time, keep track of what's what. Sometimes when I'm traveling around the world, different time zones, that's my bearing. It is Thoroughly Jewish Thursday, or it's Friday with you. You've got questions, we've got answers. So this is the right day to be on the air with me, Michael Brown. Thanks so much for joining us on the broadcast. I continue to have the joy and privilege of coming your way live from the WAVA WAVA studios right outside of Washington, D.C. Last night, hung out with a dear friend of mine, Pat Mahoney, Christian leader. He's actively involved. In fact, one of the key leading voices in trying to get Pastor Saeed out of jail in Iran and helping to speak up for other persecuted Christians there in Iran. We had a meal last night in Georgetown. And I said, hey, I just need to stick around for a little while because otherwise I get stuck in the middle of rush hour traffic, which is pretty miserable around here. So we walked around. He said, hey, you want to see the house where the Exorcist movie was filmed? So he took a picture of me standing in front of the steps. We're in that movie, as I understand it. It's filmed over there. And at the end of it, this priest is supposed to take the demons in. Pat asked me if I ever saw the movie. I said, I saw an edited parts of an edited for TV one. That's about it, parts of it. But anyway, the priest, supposedly takes the demons in him and then jumps out the window and then falls down the steps there. So I took a picture by the steps, one of these no fear poses on our Facebook page just for a little fun. Also, a couple of updates for you. Now, I'm going to cover a bunch of issues, really important and some a bit controversial, some that'll be really eye-opening for you. So keep your ears, your heart, your mind open on this Thoroughly Jewish Thursday, 866-34-TRUTH. But if you have any Jewish-related question for me, any Jewish-related question of any kind, it would be my joy to interact with you and do my best to help give you answers from the scriptures or explain what I know about Jewish tradition and background. 866-348-7884. Continue to have a great time writing the Authentic Fire book, Response to Pastor MacArthur's Strange Fire. I really think you'll find it edifying, eye-opening, and setting the record straight in so, so many ways. So thank you for praying. The only problem is when I get in this writing mode, it's hard for me to turn the engine off when it's time to go to sleep. So 4 in the morning, I'm still trying to figure out a way to slow down and get to sleep. But thank you for praying. And remember, if you are in the greater D.C., Maryland, Virginia area this weekend, you can join me, Clarksville, Maryland, on Saturday, speaking at an Emmanuel Messianic Jewish congregation there, the Saturday morning service at 10, and then doing a special afternoon seminar, free seminar on the real kosher Jesus from 1 to 3 in the afternoon. So please join me. I'd love to meet you face to face. As I'm speaking now, I see so many of your smiling faces and remember meeting so many of you in so many cities as you come after me, up to me with a big smile and say, hey, I listen to you every day. So please join me. And more info you can get on my website, askdrbrown.org. Just click on the itinerary there. And then Sunday morning in Laurel, Maryland, at Lifehouse Church, speaking at the two Sunday morning services on moral cultural issues here in America and a gospel answer. So by all means, join me this weekend. And, Joey, my engineer, is a Red Sox fan, so shout out to Joey. And hey, after the tragedy at the Boston Marathon, obviously you feel good for the city. But just to let you know, the bigger game, 10-year-old grandson Andrew, whom I've nicknamed the Blaze, he and his team shut out the opponents with a 13-0 no-hitter. He struck out 7 out of 9 batters. Yeah, that's the big update you wanted to hear. We'll be right back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on The Line of Fire broadcast. 866-348-7884. Any Jewish-related questions you have, my delight to do my best to answer your questions. I want to talk about Jewish ministry funding and where your Jewish-related money goes, and should all Christians in one way or another be involved in helping with Jewish ministry? 866-348-7884. What prompted me to address this today is an article that came out, Charisma Magazine, 2 weeks ago. Is Yechiel Eckstein worth his weight in gold? Yechiel Eckstein is an Orthodox Jewish rabbi. He is not a Messianic Jew. He is not a believer in Jesus, Yeshua. He heads up the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews, and there is a tremendous ongoing presence, TV presence, Christian TV presence that Rabbi Eckstein has. Now, on his website, you'll find recommended books that include sections saying that Jesus is not the Messiah and that he fulfilled none of the messianic prophecies. It's on his website. But the vast majority of Christians who give to his organization, do so thinking of him as a believer. And according to one survey I had been informed about some years back, 80% of the Christians who gave to his organization thought that they were helping with evangelizing Jewish people. Now, Rabbi Eckstein does raise money to help needy Jews, especially coming in from different parts of the world, former Soviet Union and things like that, and getting settled in Israel. And there are many legitimate needs. The question is it good to give money to him when he is hostile to Jewish evangelism, when not a dime of the money that his organization raises will be used for Jewish evangelism, that while some of it is used legitimately for humanitarian work, so I'm not saying it's not, the fact is there are Jewish believers, Messianic Jewish organizations in America and in Israel that are helping in that humanitarian work out of love and out of an extension of being the light of the world and being rich in good works and demonstrating a heart of compassion for those in need. We do that whether people believe or not. We do that whether people agree with our message or not. At the same time, they are also bringing the rest of the gospel. At the same time, they're unashamed to say, hey, Yeshua has changed our lives, and we're indebted to him, and if we can help you find eternal life through him, we want to do that as well. Why then is so much money given? What is it, $70, $80 million a year given to this organization on Christian TV, through Christian TV? I'll tell you about one of my colleagues who I believe God's raising up to be a Jewish-believing answer to Rabbi Eckstein, and hopefully some of those millions will start to go through a different organization. And I don't begrudge someone making a living. I don't begrudge someone having a nice home. I don't begrudge someone having a nice vehicle. I mean, that's between them and God. It's not up for us to say, well, you can have, you know, if your car is past 2008, it's too new, or you can have up to a $30,000 vehicle, but not above that. Or, hey, I was in Georgetown, right outside of D.C. last night, passing by these little townhouses, not much to look at. I imagine on the inside they can't be that big, and they're $4 million. That's just to live there. You can live in another part of America, spend $200,000 and have an 8,000 square foot house. You know what I'm saying? So I'm not out to police others. Our finances, our books are always open. I mean, we can joyfully share where the funds go with our ministry and what we're paid, joyfully, without hesitation. But when you realize that Rabbi Eckstein has a salary and compensation of $1.2 million a year. Doesn't matter how much comes into the organization, but according to these reports, as a compensation package of $1.2 million a year, which, according to the Charisma article, is more than double what the president of World Vision, a ministry with a budget 10 times larger, earns. So you think, okay, Christians are giving all this money. They're giving money to an organization, the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews, that is actually hostile to reaching Jews with the good news of Jesus, an organization that under no circumstances would partner with Jewish believers in the land, and an organization in which the head of it is paid, if you compare him to what Leaders of Jews for Jesus or Jewish Voice or Chosen People, others, you know, paid five times what they're paid or six times as they lead their ministries. You think, okay, why are Christians sinking their money in there? Are they just being emotionally moved and manipulated? And should we be pouring our money in to organizations like that that are hostile to the gospel? 866-348-7884. Again, my goal in talking about this is to educate the body. Here, let's think of another organization. Christians United for Israel, CUFI, led by Pastor John Hagee. I am absolutely thrilled with the united evangelical voice that they bring, standing with Israel politically. I'm absolutely thrilled that they can bring thousands of leaders and tens of thousands of believers together to say to Israel, you are not alone. Not to sanction every last thing Israel does, not to give carte blanche approval to everything Israel does, but to say to Israel, you are not alone. And to say, you have suffered much in history at the hands of those who claimed to be Christians and were not, or were hypocritical Christians at best. We want to show you what real Christianity is. We want to show you what the real gospel is. We want to show you genuine love and solidarity, whether you believe in Jesus or not, whether you accept us or not. We are here to stand with you. We believe it is right biblically and prophetically and even in terms of justice. I think that's absolutely wonderful. I think the stand they take in that regard is necessary. And many a time I have heard Pastor Hagee bring remarks, public remarks and comments in the midst of controversy surrounding Israel that I thought were clear-headed and accurate and right on. At the same time, it's important to know that when you give money to his organization and it goes to Israel, it does not go to believers. And there are poor believers in Israel. There are suffering believers in Israel. In years past, is worse than it is right now in terms of policing of believers or discriminatory treatment of believers. But the fact is, on some level, it's still harder economically, socially, to be a follower of Jesus, a Jewish follower of Jesus in the land. And you do encounter more difficulties because of it. Not to mention the overwhelming opposition from the ultra-Orthodox. It's very hard to live in proximity to the ultra-Orthodox and be a believer. There's a lot of harassment that comes and sometimes even physical violence. But the fact is, if you give money to Christians United for Israel, and again, I commend them for the good they do, but if you give money to Christians United for Israel, designated to help Israel, it will not go to believers. It might well go to an Orthodox Jewish school for needy children. And while that is commendable, just understand that those children will be raised in a faith outside of Jesus Yeshua, and whatever they do learn about him will be negative. So is there a way to support Israel in a tangible way at the same time that you are showing solidarity with Jewish believers in the land, at the same time you are keeping the door open or even actively reaching out to them with the gospel? The answer is absolutely yes. So I want to give you a few scriptures about why this is important. I want to share a bit more about what different ministries do so you can be more familiar. And then I want to give you some practical steps that you can take as well. Have you signed up to join me in Israel for the first tour ever that I'll be leading in Israel? I have been asked many times over the years, when are you doing a tour? When are you doing a tour? And I've always said, no, I'm not going to do it. If I'm there, I'm just there to minister. That's why I'm there. I can't be bothered with it. That's how I looked at it. One of my good friends and colleagues who's led many tours began to talk to me about why it's so important and beneficial to do it, what a tremendous blessing it is to those that come on the tours, and then how we can build relationship through it, get to know people better, pour into them in different ways, connect them with the larger work we're doing, and really help them to be impacted by Israel. I thought, you know, I'm going to do this. So together with Scott Volk, dear colleague and friend, and Professor Michael Redelnik from Moody Bible Institute, we're going to Israel May 20th to 30th. It will be, I believe, one of the most unique tours ever to Israel. So go to my website, askdrbrown.org, and just click on the Israel banner. Sign up today.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining us on this Thoroughly Jewish Thursday on the Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH. It's 866-348-7884. We're talking about Jewish ministry money. We're talking about where it goes. We're talking about the best way to invest your funds and taking any Jewish-related questions you have, 866-348-7884. I just got an email from our office. Remember, I'm broadcasting outside of D.C. this entire week. At last, at long last. I'm not a woman. I'm not a mother. I have not given birth to a baby physically. I've not carried a baby physically for 9 months and given birth to it. But I've carried some writings and some burdens for many, many years. And this one, at last, 13 years after Answering Jewish Objections to Jesus, Volume 2, came out in English. The one we agreed would be the first one that we would get out in Hebrew because of its unique subject matter. 13 years after it came out in English, I have just sent a picture of one of the Hebrew copies that came out earlier this year. Finally, it's about to be in my hands. It is vicariously in my hands as it's in the hands of my staff. And we are ramping up, by God's grace, a lot of our specific Hebrew outreach and soon our internet presence in Israel. I am so thrilled. Thank God. Finally out in Hebrew. I believe God's going to use it to touch many Jews, in particular, religious Jews. Romans 15, Paul writes this. And just to give you the background, when he would go to the different congregations, Corinthians and others, he would collect money from them for an offering for the poor. What he meant specifically was the poor saints in Jerusalem. That's the most likely understanding in Galatians 2 when Peter and the other apostles say, yes, we recognize your call to the uncircumcised, to the Gentiles. We're called to the circumcised, to the Jews. But just remember the poor, meaning remember the poor saints in Jerusalem because they had special needs because of their unique situation there and the difficulties they encountered there. So he says this, Romans 15, 25, now, however, I'm on my way to Jerusalem in the service of the saints there from Macedonia and Achaia were pleased to make a contribution to the poor among the saints in Jerusalem. They were pleased to do it, and indeed they owe it to them, for if the Gentiles have shared in their, meaning the Jews' spiritual blessings, they owe it to them, to the Jews, to share with them their material blessings. Now, organizations, ministries will quote this, but what if it's just going to Israel in general and not Israel specifically, if it's going to Israel in general and not believers within Israel specifically, that's not what Paul was talking about. Paul was not just talking about generically helping Israel or the Jews living there. He was talking about, in particular, helping Jewish believers, the Messianic Jews within Israel. And as we invest our funds, the two primary goals in investing your funds in Jewish ministry. Number one, reaching Jewish people worldwide with the good news of Jesus Yeshua. Number two, partnering with Jewish believers in the land to strengthen their hands and help them to reach others. 866-348-7884. For those who support this ministry, for those who support the work that I'm doing, obviously, we are constantly involved in Jewish evangelism. Obviously, we are constantly involved in helping Christians be educated to understand and stand with and reach out to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And we are in continual correspondence with seekers, with people with questions of all kinds. One of our part-time staff members, his entire job, his only job, is to answer Jewish-related emails that come in. And soon enough, we are confident we're going to have to hire at least one full-time person just to help with all the Jewish-related questions, inquiries that come in. So when you give to our ministry, you are helping us reach Jewish people with the gospel. There are other ministries that I will mention to you in a moment that are also helping in humanitarian ways. In other words, funding needy believers or impoverished believers, as well as others in need in the land. 866-348-7884. Let's go to Patrick in West Bloomfield, Michigan. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown, longtime listener. I'm glad you're talking about this subject regarding the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews. I, along with I'm sure many other Christians, had given to that ministry, without researching it, just going from giving from the heart and not really understanding, but just the Lord's put that burden, I think, on a lot of Christians' hearts. Well, about a year and a half ago, the Lord put a real burden on my heart to build a website called wildolivebranches.org, where I educate other Christians about the fact that we should not give to a ministry like the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews. I have a page dedicated to them, highlighting quotes from this particular rabbi who he states.
All right, tell you what, give me that link again.
Yeah, wildolivebranches.org.
All right, I'm typing it in as you speak.
Yep, and then there's a particular page that's called it's got IFCJ scam with a question mark. I've highlighted the salary that this gentleman has taken. I mean, I think that's one aspect. It's just way out of whack, as Charisma Magazine had pointed out in the article you referenced earlier. But the biggest concern, I think, is the perception that this ministry is a Christian ministry, or that it's Christian and Jewish, and that it's helping
exactly
Jewish people with physical needs. But you also feel that you have the perception that the gospel is being shared. And that,
yeah, and look, Patrick. Yeah, and I'm only jumping in because I've got a break coming up. I was not aware of your website, and I'm going there right now during this 2-minute break. I'm going to be looking at it. But look, it's called Fellowship. It's the International Fellowship for Christians and Jews. It uses the right language. Rabbi Eckstein fully understands that the people giving think that they're giving to a fellow believer. And he fully understands that a large amount of the money that comes in, people think they're giving to Jewish evangelism. Thank you, Patrick. Sorry, I've got to jump in. May I commend to you my friend Scott Volk, togetherforisrael.org. And as you join us together at Israel, you'll be joining Scott as well. And friends, to help us in our work, to get behind the work we're doing, you know, we're on the front lines reaching Jewish people with the gospel. You know, our materials are making a difference in many lives. Help us, stand with us, hold our hands up, especially as we get towards the end of the year. Boy, would it mean a lot. So go to AskDrBrown.org right now. Click on donate. Stand with us, and the money will go to help reach Jewish people with the gospel. Or you can call 1-800-278-9978, 1-800-278-9978.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome, welcome to Thoroughly Jewish Thursday on the line of fire, 866-348-7884. Delighted to be with you as we talk about where to invest your Jewish ministry funds. Do I believe that all Christians should be involved with Standing for Israel? Yeah, I do. I do. Why? Well, Paul explains in Romans 15, writing to Gentile believers in Rome, that if they have been enriched spiritually by the Jews, meaning the Jewish Messiah, Jesus, meaning the Jewish apostles that brought the message, meaning the Jewish prophets and leaders that came before and prepared the way, if they have been enriched by that spiritually, then they should help materially. That's just a gospel principle. Those that minister to you spiritually should be helped materially. That's what Paul writes, for example, in 1 Corinthians 9 about supporting leaders. Friends, don't get scandalized by the gaudiness, say, of Preachers of LA type stuff, because that's not 99% or 99.9% of preachers and leaders throughout America. The fact of the matter is most don't really have enough to get by. Most are under financial pressure. Most work a lot more hours than your average business person, because of which you have a lot of burnout and a lot of pressure that comes with the ministry. Very few start the ministry and decades later are still in it, pastoring and leading effectively. It's a relatively low percentage, sad to say, and some of it's financial pressure. So by all means, you want to care for those. There's a difference between caring for someone so their needs are met and they don't have to be under constant financial pressure when they have a healthy, strong congregation. As you realize, most of the money they're trying to raise is to help further the work of the gospel. There's a big difference between that and someone owning a Bentley and boasting about it. Okay, there's a world of difference there. But when it comes to Jewish ministry, yes, it's right for Christians to sow into it, because Romans 1:16 remains true that the gospel is the power of God to salvation, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. It remains true that if you've been enriched spiritually, then you should in turn obviously pray for people spiritually, but also help materially. And we know that the salvation of the Jewish people, Paul writes, will be life from the dead, and there is an evangelistic priority for all Christians to be involved with the Great Commission, reaching the whole world with the gospel. Everyone should be a missionary either by going or by sending or by praying, participating one way or another. And everyone should be involved in reaching out to the lost sheep of the house of Israel and helping as possible. So if you give to an organization like Yechiel Eckstein's International Fellowship for Christians and Jews, not only are you giving to his massive salary of $1.2 million, which dwarfs. Here, let me put it in context for you. All of our budget to be on radio and TV and pay our staff and pay me and do everything that we do across America and around the world, all right? I don't mean supporting all of our missionaries full-time. I mean everything that we do. We do everything, all of us, everything combined, every penny for less than he makes in his salary, okay? So not only does the money go there, but more importantly, it will not a dime of it will go to reach Jewish people with the message of Jesus. And you've got other organizations reaching out to the Jewish people with the gospel. You've got other organizations helping needy Jews in the land, including Messianic Jews, and helping forward Jewish evangelism in the land. And they're getting little or nothing from Christians. And what, 80 million, 100 million, I don't know the exact amount, comes in to an organization like International Fellowship for Christians and Jews. It's a shame. It's a shame. I'm not saying that none of the money goes to its intended target. None of it helps needy Jews. I'm saying it's absolutely not a gospel way to give and to stand. Again, check out my friend Scott Volk's website, togetherforisrael.org.
Give us strength to always do what's right. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining us, friends, on this Thoroughly Jewish Thursday broadcast, 866-348-7884. Look, let me say this again. I'm not begrudging someone making a living and where standards are set and how it's looked at and what's appropriate or not. That's for others to evaluate, all right? And you could scrutinize everybody. And on our end, we're always happy to have our books open. Somebody wrote an attacking article on me years ago in the Charlotte area, and he went after us on finances. And I said, the only scandal you're going to find is that our folks make so little money. And when he found out what people made, all of us in the organization, and he never said a word about money because he was trying to attack, and there's nothing to attack. But I'm not – here, if somebody takes over a company, all right, they take over a company, and they – oh, let's see. They take over a company, and the company is worth $1 million when they take it over, and the CEO salary is $100,000, right? And in 10 years, that person turns it around so that the company went from a $1 million company to a $1 billion company, and the guy got paid $1 million for it. Well, in the business world, whatever, he more than earned it, all right? Obviously, with ministry, when funds are coming in, as Leonard Ravenhill always used to remind us, you know, you're going to have to give an account for every last dime sent in by a widow. Where's money going? How's it being used? But my bigger issue is, what do you think you're giving towards? Here, for example, if you support this ministry, you support my radio show, you support our TV show, you support our Jewish ministry outreach, you support our outreach to the nations, you support me standing as a voice of moral, cultural, spiritual revolution, you're holding my hands up as I'm writing books and doing these kinds of things, and you find out that we have to go off the air because all the money has been used to buy me a private jet, I mean, that would be immoral and obscene, and we would deserve whatever punishment came our way from the Lord and from society. Or if we said, hey, we are raising money to feed the poor in Israel, we need to raise $100,000 for this major project, and you gave $10,000 designated towards that, and then call in 6 months later to find out what happened, say, oh, well, actually, we were just, you know, putting a pool in the back of the building for our staff to be able to relax and unwind. That would be immoral. That would be despicable. So I'm not saying that Rabbi Eckstein and International Fellowship of Christians and Jews are telling you the money is going to help needy Jews coming in from the former Soviet Union, and they're actually putting a pool in the back of their building. What I am telling you is they're giving you the impression that this is Christians and Jews all working together, and most people think Rabbi Eckstein is a believer, and most people think the money they're giving, from what I understand from surveys, is going to reach Jewish people with the gospel. Well, that's absolutely false, and being on Christian TV in this way is absolutely wrong, and it needs to be replaced by my friend Scott Volk and Together for Israel. That's right. He needs to be the one on the air, because that money will be raised and will help Jewish believers in the land as well as other needy people in the land. Scott's wife, Beth, is an Arab, okay, Lebanese descent. So here you've got Jew and Arab together serving the Lord as one. What a great model. And funds will be used to help reach Jewish people with the gospel. Something to think about, huh? Oh, I can't wait to see what God's going to do in the coming years. And let's pray for the salvation of Rabbi Eckstein. Amen. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to the phones in Brooklyn. Doug. Hey, Doug, I know who you are from your last name. How is your health, dear brother?
Well, I'm coming along, Dr. Brown. They did CAT scan and said that the cancer cells aren't in the bone, but they're going to do a little treatment for anything that might escape to the brain or the spinal column. So I'm doing well. Thank you.
All right. And for those who don't know you, which is many of our folks right now, how old are you now, Doug?
I'm only 81 now.
Only 81 and still active in Jewish outreach on a regular basis, huh?
But my voice isn't too good because I'm under chemotherapy right now.
All right. Well, you're stronger than I might have thought right now. So bless you. And we are standing with you for complete healing. Yes. Please tell me what's on your mind about Rabbi Eckstein.
I wanted to say that his ultimate goal is admirable, to help Jewish people, you know, come from the Soviet Union to Israel. However, I personally heard him tell when I was in Israel, a group of tourists, Christian tourists, when we go to our Jewish people we're going to visit, you can't talk to them about Jesus. In other words, don't talk to them about Jesus. I heard him say that. And I was shocked, you know. And also he spoke recently to a seminary in Korea just a few days ago. And I thought, these people don't have any idea, you know, that he's not allowing people to give the gospel. So I'm so glad for your clarion voice to be raised. It needs to be so much raised so people will not be fooled to think they're giving, you know, to a Christian outreach at all. And thank you so much, Dr. Brown.
Doug, you're welcome. May the grace and healing and strength of the Lord be yours as you continue to stand for the good news of Yeshua among our people. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Everett in the Bronx. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown. Thank you for taking my call. I'm so glad I heard this program today. I listen to you when I can, but when I'm at home. But I never really paid much attention to anything. I'm not sure that I'd heard this part of your program before. Anyway, I have donated to that organization, and I donated by a credit card, and I was just this week here. This week, I called them and said I would make a donation, but I did not feel that I should do it by credit card this time. I asked them if they would take a check, and they said yes. So I'm now waiting. I made a commitment. I am now waiting for them to send me an envelope. But it's really sad to see that there's something. I'm a friend of the Jews. I'm not a Jew, but I love the people of Israel because the Bible, I'm commanded to do that.
Yeah.
And I should share in their suffering too. But I am not going to help someone who is not, if they're hostile to Christians.
Everett, first, thank you for your heart. And to me, this is the true Christian spirit. The ugly things that have happened in church history, the persecution in the name of Jesus, has been such an aberration. And it's people like you that demonstrate who demonstrate the real spirit of what a Christian is. I want to encourage you to check out Together for Israel, my friend Scott Volk, and if you give through Together for Israel, not only are you giving money that's going to help Jewish people in the land, but you're doing it in Yeshua's name. You're doing it in a way that's also standing, especially with Jewish believers who are under tremendous pressure. And Sandra, in fact, Everett, if you just stay on the line, if we could be of help to you, I'm going to have Dwight just get your address. And if you want to find out about Together for Israel, I'll make sure that they send you information. But bless you for your heart. Bless you for your solidarity. And for even saying that you feel the need to participate in the suffering and pain of the Jewish people. That's a tremendous thing to hear, and it's a true Christian spirit. 866-34-TRUTH. Hey, again, go to the International Fellowship for Christians and Jews. Look at recommended books. Last time I was there, one of the books was Seven Questions About Jews, Judaism, something like that, a classic early book from Dennis Prager and Joseph Telushkin with so much good stuff in it, but it blatantly says Jesus is not the Messiah, cannot be the Messiah. He fulfilled none of the Messianic prophecies. This is a recommended book, and this is what you're helping to support as you give. Let's go to Frank in Brooklyn. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hello. I'm not asking it. My question is, Is Jews a religion or an ethnic group of people? Can the Jew be from any part of the world?
Yes. You know, this is a question that comes up all the time, and it's actually a disputed question even within the Jewish world, namely, who is a Jew? Judaism is a religion. just like Christianity is a religion, Islam is a religion, and someone who is a practitioner of Judaism is a Jew. But you can also be Jewish simply by ethnic descent. In other words, you can be Jewish because your parents were Jewish, or one of your parents was Jewish and you were raised with Jewish consciousness that you're a Jew. You could be an atheist and be a Jew. I am a Jewish follower of Jesus, so I do not practice traditional Judaism. I would practice what I would say is the Messianic Jewish faith, which is part of the larger church, larger body of the Messiah. You could be a Jew and be a Buddhist. So a Jew is ethnic, and practicing Judaism is religious, and there is tremendous overlap between the two.
Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
By the way, one of the best things you can do to bless Israel and enrich and change your life at the same time is to join me on our tour next May. Yeah, you see, tourism is one of the primary ways that Israel survives. And because there's so much to see in the land and so much to experience, people go and their lives are changed and they can't wait to go again. And for followers of Jesus, the word comes alive. You're not just looking at history. Think about it. You're not just looking at history. You're looking at the future. There are places in Israel where not only the most important events in world history took place, including the death and resurrection of Messiah Jesus Yeshua, but you're also looking at places where history will unfold in the coming years, decades, whatever the time frame is, when the Messiah will return and rule and reign out of Jerusalem. And it's an extraordinary thing to experience, plus the time we all get together in the course of the tour and even joining me at night and some of the nights as we broadcast live from different hotels where we'll have you as our live audience. So if you've not yet signed up, now's the time to do it. Go to my website right now, askdrbrown.org, askdrbrown.org. Click on the Israel tour. My friend Scott Volk will be joining us. In fact, he's the one helping to coordinate and put it together. You'll have a blast just being with Scott and seeing his heart and vision. We'll be connecting you with Jewish believers in the land as well as Palestinian Christians who have a great heart for Israel. And in addition to that, Professor Michael Redelnik from Moody Bible Institute will be joining us. He's got amazing knowledge, background about the land, and he'll be doing supplemental teaching, as will I. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to St. Mary's, Georgia. Maria, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown. How are you?
Doing very well. Thank you.
Good, good. Okay, well, many years ago, I used to contribute to that because I used to see the advertisements until...
Hang on, just for our listeners, that meaning the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews.
Yes, I'm sorry. Yeah, I had said that to the gentleman before, International Fellowships of Christians and Jews, absolutely. And when I had relayed that to two of our mutual friends, Art Katz and Howard Morgan.
Howard Morgan, yeah.
They were like, how could you, and then explained to me, well, down here in St. Mary's, I broadcast on a Christian radio station, majority of music, but we have a chance to. Now, on my program would be Israel in the News from that fellowship, and I monitored it because I knew about it, and it would just bring news from what was going on in Israel, but it would still mention it was coming from the Fellowship of International Fellowship of Christian and Jews, and so I let it go, and I say, okay, well, I don't know how my bosses, who are my friends anyways, feel about this, but okay, I let it go, until the underhanded tactics started to come in over that. And that would be, they had a pastor, I forget his name, quoted from the New Testament about blessing the Jewish people. And then there was also an advertisement for a woman coming on as a born-again believer, how good she felt in blessing the Jewish people. And I says, okay, this needs to stop right here. I went into my bosses and I said, you don't realize who this they are about. And also, whether it was the daughter or the wife on a commercial saying about bringing monies in for blankets for the Jewish, the elderly Jews that would be cold and all this. And I says, okay, now it's got to stop. It was innocent up until that part when they were bringing news from.
Yeah,
but now the tactics were coming in.
Right.
You know?
And in fact, just to jump in, Maria, in point of fact, money does go to some of those very causes, but when it's like Christians, Jews working together, well, hang on. The one thing that's off limits is you cannot bring the gospel to those Jewish people. You cannot. That's the big issue there. 866-348-7884. Let's go to Una in Waltham, Massachusetts. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Yes, Dr. Brown, it's a pleasure talking with you. I am one person who spent thousands of dollars with the International Fellowship of Christian and Jews. And it is really shocking to me now because I've been partnering with them from about 2002, 2003. I brought back over 70 Jews back from the former Soviet Union and other part of the world, like those in Ethiopia, Mizoram, India. And I really have a passion for the Jewish people because in 1983, God gave me a scripture, Isaiah 40. I didn't even know what he was talking about until I migrated here in 2001. I realized that he wanted me to take care of the Jewish people. Comfort ye, my people.
Mm-hmm.
And I just have a passion. I also partner with Jewish Voice.
Good.
And Dr. Mike Evans and Sid Rothbard.
Yeah, so here's what I'd encourage you to do. First, be assured that God sees the purity of your heart and the fact that you have a heart to stand with Jewish people in need. That's wonderful. And so every dime you give, you've given to the Lord, and you've given to bless and help Jewish people. Now that you even understand more, then you can be even more specific and target it in a constructive way. And you're already giving to fine organizations. Jewish Voice also helps in humanitarian ways. The other ministries you mentioned also help in humanitarian ways as along with the gospel. And obviously, if you check out a ministry like I mentioned, Together for Israel, togetherforisrael.org, with my colleague and friend Scott Volk, we are asking God to raise him up in this ministry up to take the place of Yechiel Eckstein, an International Fellowship for Christian and Jews, for Jewish believers to have a way to channel their funds to make sure that it gets into hands that will touch other Jewish believers and bring the gospel as well to Jewish people who do not know the Messiah. So bless you for your giving. Be assured that the Lord honors it and uses it. And now you can be even more targeted and specific in this. But God bless you, and thank you. Thank you for your heart for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. It's so encouraging to hear, and I just sense from your words that you're a praying woman also. Can I ask you to keep praying for us in the work that we're doing as we seek to make a difference in many, many Jewish lives? All right, this conversation is going to continue. If you'd like to join in, 866-348-7884. In fact, my friend and colleague Scott Volk will be joining us in the next hour. Whatever you miss is always archived. AskDrBrown.org. Just click on the latest audio. And if you have not yet ordered your copy of Authentic Fire, pre-order. I was up till, real late working on the book and things related to the book to about 4 in the morning. I'm having a blast getting this out. I think this is going to be one of the more eye-opening books you've ever read. You can pre-order your copy now, and we'll sign it to send it out as a blessing. It should be out, in just about a month, if you can believe that. So call 1-800-278-9978, 1-800-278-9978. My bottom line today, by all means, let every follower of Jesus stand with Israel and be a blessing to Israel. But let us not leave the gospel out in the process. So is every Christian called to support Israel financially or Jewish ministry financially in one way or another? And if so, where is your Jewish ministry money going?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thank you for joining us today on The Line of Fire. It is Thoroughly Jewish Thursday, 866-348-7884. Where's your Jewish ministry money going? Just heard from a caller who's given thousands and thousands of dollars over the years to an organization that she thought was sympathetic to the gospel. She thought the money was using to bless Jewish people, but in a way that would be in harmony with the gospel. And yes, helping needy Jews get back into the land of Israel and help them while they're in the land of Israel, but at the same time, do it in a Christian way, do it in a way that's not ashamed of the gospel, only to find out to her absolute shock that's not where the funds were going. We're talking about giving money to Rabbi Yechiel Eckstein, an International Fellowship of Christians and Jews. Does the money go to help needy Jews? Yeah, a lot of it, although people are shocked when they hear the amount of money that is paid to Rabbi Eckstein, who is an Orthodox Jew, and he is not a believer in Jesus. He does not want Jews to believe in Jesus. Why? Because he's an Orthodox Jew. Of course he doesn't. Why would he? Unless he got saved himself, we pray that he will and discover Jesus Yeshua as the Messiah of Israel. But in point of fact, he is not a believer in any way, shape, size, or form, and he strongly opposes Jews coming to faith in Jesus, and money you give under no circumstances will have any connection to the gospel. And his website promotes books that include some that deny Jesus as the Messiah. So we're telling you there are other ways to give where you can help Jewish people in a humanitarian way, and you can also reach them with the good news of Jesus, the Messiah. I just want to quickly bring on with me my dear friend and colleague, Scott Volk, who will be on the tour with me, coordinating the tour next May 20th to 30th in Israel. If you haven't signed up yet, please go to my website today. It'll be the tour of a lifetime. AskDrBrown.org. Just click on the tour to Israel. Scott, God's raised you up with a particular burden to start TogetherForIsrael.org. Tell our listeners why, and tell our listeners the truth about why you need to be there as another option instead of Rabbi Eckstein.
Well, I am blown away just even in listening to your show, because I think it's something that most people are totally and completely naive about. On my very first trip to Israel back in 2005, I was struck by the need, both of the poor and needy in the land, as well as the believers in the land. When I would watch these shows on television, the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews, I would be gripped so emotionally by the definite need, without any clue whatsoever that the monies were not going to the believers in the land. And when I started going over to Israel and God gripped me with a need, I really felt like he spoke to me that I was going to be a conduit of funds to the poor and needy in Israel, both Arab and Jew. As I hear this show today, I'm blown away, and I feel like as believers, our primary goal in giving to Israel must be to the saints. You spoke about it out of Romans 15:25-27. That's a biblical mandate that we have, and we give simply because we love to give, but it's also promised of the Lord that God will bless those that bless Israel, and I firmly and completely believe that as believers, we must be standing with the believers who are in Israel, giving their lives for the gospel in the land of promise.
Scott, what's happened so far as you've stepped out to do this? Tell you what, stay right there. We'll come back with you. Everybody on hold, I'll get you as soon as I can.
Flame, send the fire. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to The Line of Fire broadcast. There is, I believe, a spiritual obligation for all Christians to stand with Israel in different ways, to pray for the salvation of the Jewish people, to pray for the peace of Jerusalem, to demonstrate the love of God to the Jewish people and to undo the horrors of church history, and to financially support Jewish outreach and humanitarian need in Israel. Paul lays that out in Romans, the 15th chapter, in terms of humanitarian need, saying if you've been blessed, enriched spiritually through the Jewish people, then you should help financially. Unfortunately, you have organizations like Rabbi Yehiel Eckstein's International Fellowship of Christians and Jews. Not only have folks said, wait a second, his salary is $1.2 million. So you've got an organization, you know, organizations 10 times his size, where Christian ministries, where the leaders get less than one half of his salary, and then some of the biggest Christian ministries in the world where they get one fifth of his salary. So it's an incredible amount of money, but then the money will go anywhere except to the gospel. So isn't it better to give to Jewish believers so that Jewish believers then can help put that money into Israel to meet humanitarian needs as well as to share the gospel? That's why I'm talking right now with my friend and colleague, Scott Volk, who has founded togetherforisrael.org. If you're giving to the International Fellowship for Christians and Jews, send the money instead to togetherforisrael.org, and this way it'll have a twofold purpose, reaching Jewish people with physical needs and reaching Jewish people with spiritual needs. Scott, just before we come back to the question of what God has done as you've gotten this burden, can you just tell me if there is a lot of need in Israel, if there's a lot of poverty and a lot of struggle, especially for Jewish believers?
Yeah, I was blown away. I mean, when you think of Israel, typically you don't think of poor and impoverished people. It's amazing when you look at the cost of living over in Israel. It is much, much higher than in the United States. And the average salary and wages that people get over there are much lower. So by and large, it's a much more difficult place to live. When you add on top of that the fact that we've got over 10,000, maybe as much as 20,000, I've even seen recently, Jewish believers living in the land. What really, really saddens me is that many of these people have gone over there feeling the call of the Lord to return back to the land, but yet struggle day in and day out simply to pay their mortgage payments. We've got to be holding up the hands of our brothers and sisters, not only in the spirit, but also in their material needs, which Romans 15:27 clearly exhorts us to do.
And you've really seen some amazing things happen. I mean, I've been watching with you. We often just shake our heads in amazement. But have you ever seen the favor of God in your life in anything you've done like this before?
I have never, ever experienced the favor like I have now. And I'm telling this to you, Mike, I am convinced beyond a shadow of a doubt that I've stepped into exactly what the Lord wants me to do. I'm not into ministry for making a name for myself. As a matter of fact, I've gladly taken a back seat through the years and have watched other people be promoted and have cheered them on. But I really believe that God has called me to take a step of faith to proclaim to churches and believers across this nation and around the world the need to support Israel. And what's been happening is doors have been miraculously opening. Been invited to go on national television, and I thought to myself, this is an utterly impossible thing. The amount of money needed to even go into it is utterly and completely impossible. And as little as 4 weeks ago, I receive a phone call from a very large donation that's coming into our ministry that will allow us to proclaim the truth of supporting Israel on national television. So I covet your prayers and the prayers of your listeners, because I really believe this is the hour for the church to stand with Israel.
And going to Israel on our tour next May, that's a great way to stand with Israel a whole bunch of ways, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. You've already mentioned the fact that tourism is one of the main economy boosters over in the land of Israel. So that just coming is supporting Israel. But not only that, when people come and listening to you teach and Dr. Adelman's speech is going to be so amazing, because as we step in the places where our Messiah walked and we see the Sea of Galilee, or we see the Wailing Wall where religious Jews flock to and pray and look for the coming of the Messiah, I tell you, people's hearts will be gripped with God's heart, not only for the land, but also for the people. I encourage anyone who's listening, if you can make it, join us. Take a step of faith. Sign up for the trip. I really believe that funds will miraculously come in for you, but it's going to be a trip of a lifetime. I can't wait to do it together with you.
Yeah, it's going to be amazing. Hey, bro, thanks for calling in. Togetherforisrael.org, Scott's website. And again, join us. AskDrBrown.org. Just click on the Israel Tour. If you've been thinking of going, sign up today. We'll trust God together for everything to fall into place for you financially. And the one thing that's certain for my friends that have done tours where they've literally seen over the years hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds, they never have someone at the end saying it wasn't worth it. What they say at the end is, wow, I wish it was longer. I wish I'd go back. This is amazing. It's changed my life. 866-348-7884. Let's go to Charles in Atlanta. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire, Charles.
Yes. I was surprised to hear what you were saying. I've given money to Fellowship of Christian and Jews, and they clearly say $350 will transport one Jew onto the Wings of Eagle program from Russia to Israel, and 700 will do, you know, husband and wife, and so forth and so on, 350 per person. So I gave some money for that. I also gave money to other ones there that they do for orphans and all.
Now, let me just ask you a question.
What I would like to ask, though, is this. When I give $350 to transport one Jew from Russia to Israel, is that one Jew getting transported, yes or no?
Well, obviously, I can't speak for them. I can say this. With any ministry, there's overhead, right? So if you, let's say you support one of our missionaries around the world, one of our fire missionaries, you're supporting one of our missionaries, say, in China or Tanzania or wherever, okay? Our organization, Fire International Missions Organization, operates on such a shoestring budget and raises its own money that 9 cents out of every 10 or 90 cents out of a dollar goes directly to that missionary. And so, in other words, it's only 10% kept out administratively for everyone that has to run things. And because we support our missionaries, you've got to care for this need and do this and do that and do all the banking stuff and send out all the newsletters. But we manage to do it on 10%. Then the church gives to support it as well. So it's at least 90 cents, if not 95 cents out of every dollar that gets there. When you're dealing with International Fellowship for Christians and Jews, if Rabbi Eckstein's salary alone is $1.2 million, and if they bring in, say, $80 million, and then there's the whole staff, well, obviously, it's not 90% of your money that's going there. It could be 60%. Who knows? But let's just say this. If they say $350, we'll do it, that would probably mean that they can do it for $200 or $250. You know, the rest goes into their administrative costs and salaries. And then they do the rest. I'm not saying they're not ultimately doing what they're saying that they would do. And you have given money for a good cause that God will bless. But realistically, and I just want to ask you, I'm not setting you up and asking, in your mind, were you giving to believers or unbelievers? In other words, when you're giving to Rabbi Eckstein, were you thinking of him as a fellow believer? Were you thinking of his organization as a ministry? Or were you recognizing he's an Orthodox rabbi who doesn't believe in Jesus and not a dime of this will go towards the gospel?
Well, actually, Dr. Brown, you know, when you go by the name the Fellowship of Christians and Jews, I assumed that there was a Christian, you know, emphasis here as well. I had no idea that...
so it's deceitful, sir. In other words, God will bless you for what you've given, and without question... You've helped Jewish people in need without question, and that's a worthy thing and an honorable thing. And the vast majority are not doing anything, so you have done far more than most. That being said, it is total deceit. Using the language fellowship conveys that very concept and then having it on Christian TV and wording things a certain way is done so that Christians will think they are giving to a ministry. It is not a Christian ministry. It opposes the gospel going to Jewish people. So God bless you for giving. As I said, that's far more than most will do. And don't kick yourself over it, because I'm sure the money helped just as they said it would. That being said, there are plenty of other places where you can put your funds, other Jewish ministries that are doing humanitarian work as well. And we're praying that God will raise up my friend Scott Volk and togetherforisrael.org to do what Rabbi Eckstein is not doing.
Of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on the Line of Fire broadcast, 866-348-7884. It's just important to understand where your finances are going. It's important to know, if you give to a certain ministry or organization, to know who you're giving to. And I appreciate deeply the heart of so many Christians to stand with Israel and help the Jewish people. It's a genuine expression of the love of God. It's a genuine expression of the heart of God. It's a genuine expression of what should happen with Christians touched by the Jewish Messiah and wanting to see the Jewish people receive the love of God. At the same time, you need to know where your funds are going. 866-34-TRUTH. Look, there is a lot of news now about a pastor of a mega church in Charlotte, North Carolina, building a personal house, what, $1.7 million or something like that. You know, young man pastoring a mega church on many, many acres, and he's coming under criticism for it. And he said, hey, it's a gift from God, and it's by book royalties and so on. Hey, I'm not out to police others in the body, okay? If I have a nice home and a modest car, or a modest home and no car, or if I live in a hut, or if I live in a mansion, there are ways for me to be accountable for all these things. There are organizations that help hold you accountable. If you have solid leaders around you and a right heart for the Lord, you'll honor him and do the right things. But I have been attacked falsely with junk for so many years, and you got these heresy hunters and others, and they find it to be their whole ministry to set everybody right, and often there's a lot of hypocrisy and junk involved. My last goal is to go after others and blast others. I remember years ago I was being blasted by one particular ministry, and I went online and found out that they had more than their share of critics, and they were getting blasted and attacked, and I thought, no, I'm not joining in. That's just repaying evil with evil. I'm not joining in. The big issue, though, here's the problem, and if anyone from this particular church is listening in leadership, here's the problem. Take it from a brother that's been around a bit as well, and been in the midst of spotlight and controversy as well. You're not transparent. Let everybody know everything. Let everybody that gives, let the general public know. Let it be, what's there to hide? Here's our budget. Here's where the money goes. Here are our salaries. Why hide that? Shouldn't there be accountability? And if God gives a certain platform, should there be that level of openness? And you think there's a reason that the biggest ministries and organizations in the world, the finest ones, the ones that operate with the most integrity, are complete open books in terms of, hey, here are our finances. Here's where the money goes. Here's how it's used. What do we have to be ashamed of? I've got to give account for every dime that comes into our ministry before the Lord. And maybe I'm too conscious at times. You know what I'm saying? Wanting to be conscientious and wanting to be sure about these things. But be transparent and open. Rabbi Eckstein, get on Christian TV and said, I just want you to understand that I am an Orthodox Jewish rabbi, and I do not believe that Jesus is the Messiah. And I do not want to see any Jew in the world follow Jesus as the Messiah. I want you to know that. And I want you to know that not a dime of any money you give to International Fellowship for Christians and Jews will ever go to reach a Jewish person with the gospel of Jesus, because I oppose that. Get up and say it, sir. Why not? Ah, because you know your funds will dwindle overnight, because you've got these sincere Christians watching, thinking that you're a brother in the Lord, and hearing the word fellowship and saying, oh, wonderful, this is a gospel organization. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Olivia in Odessa, Florida. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Yes, I'm a new listener to you, Mr. Brown, and I do appreciate your program and your zeal for the Lord. Now, one of the things that just so happens, I was listening, I switched to your station. I was just surprised because I was on the verge of making a donation to Rabbi Elfstein. The only thing I used to say when I watched it, because I am a born-again Christian, love the Lord, and I would say, oh, my, they, you know, the repetition of the program, but I didn't want that to, you know, stop me. But I am just appalled because we have some Christians. I don't want to name them, but you would see maybe like artist Pat Boone, or you would see, and he's passed away now, Jerry Falwell. We have so many Christians that, you know, come in on the program. So that led me to believe that, yes, that I know you've heard the term messianic.
Yeah, Messianic Jew. I'm a Messianic Jew. Yeah.
Program, but now I'm enlightened. I will pray for him that he comes to know the Lord, or the Holy Spirit will work through him, but it will make me think twice because I'm originally from New York, and those Jewish people that were in the Line of Fire would stand on the corner and they would get some abuse, even from the Orthodox Jews, where the Jews were Jesus.
Yeah.
But I lost track of them. So I said, this is something I could do because they used the Bible verse, you know, on Genesis 12:3-12, I think, to
12:3, if you bless the seed of Abraham, bless Israel, God will bless you. Yeah, Olivia, yeah, that's where they get tens of millions of dollars from. And you see, fine Christian leaders have joined with them because many Christian leaders know in church history, professing Christians often persecuted Jews and engaged in wrong wrong acts towards the Jews and drove Jews away from Jesus, and they want to show genuine Christian love to Israel. But the fact is, there are other Christian Jewish ministries on TV, like Jewish Voice Broadcast, my friend John Burness, and they're involved in helping in humanitarian ways. My friend Sid Roth is developing humanitarian work, and my colleague Scott Volk, that'll be coordinating the Israel tour that we take in May, his whole organization now has been raised up to basically take the place of Rabbi Eckstein for believers and say, hey, as you send us money, we will put it right into helping meet physical, material needs in the land of Israel, and we'll do it in Yeshua's name. So, Olivia, when you get a chance, go to togetherforisrael.org. Real simple to remember, togetherforisrael.org. And as God provides the funds, I believe you'll see Scott on TV, and you'll see him talking about where the money's going as a Messianic Jew. So that's togetherforisrael.org. And of course, our ministry is constantly involved in reaching Jewish people with the gospel, but our humanitarian work would be done through Together for Israel with Scott. Olivia, thanks for calling. All right, we're going to go to a very interesting call on the other side of the break, an Orthodox Jewish man from Baltimore. We're going to change subjects a little in the next half hour, so stay with us. It's going to be enlightening, eye-opening, and I am thrilled, pumped, excited. 13 years, what a long wait, 13 years after Answering Jewish Objections to Jesus, Volume 2, Theological Objections, came out in English. It's now out in Hebrew. We just got 4 copies sent to our office. I'm not in the office to look at them now, but I was just sent a picture. By God's grace, reaching Jewish people in Hebrew, in the Lamb, with the most important book on that subject that's been written. Stand with us at AskDrBrown.org. Hold our hands up as we reach the lost sheep of the house of Israel.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution.
Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I owe my life, my soul, I owe everything to the Messiah of Israel, Jesus, Yeshua, the one who has brought me into the knowledge of God, the one who delivered me from a wasted and wasteful, destructive life, the one who has given me eternal hope in this world, in the world to come, and a message for my Jewish people and for the nations. 866-348-7884. Welcome to this Thoroughly Jewish Thursday broadcast. When I was heavily into drugs and living a decadent, messed up life from the ages of 14 to 16, it put my parents under terrible pressure. My mom's 91 now. My dad died back in 77. But I am so mortified by what I put them through, the pain that they experienced, the fear they had because of the way I was living. And my dad was not a religious Jew, but he was a religiously thinking man in terms of certainly believing in God and believing that he could pray and God would hear him. And he would pray every day for me. And when God saved me in an unexpected way and turned my life around, he was thrilled to see the change. And he said, but look, you know, we don't believe in this. We're Jews. And then he began to see the quality of the change in my life as a Jew following Jesus. But I said, hey, Dad, you prayed and look at how God answered. He answered through Jesus, the Messiah. A few weeks back, I spoke with an Orthodox Jewish man from Baltimore who believes that his late deceased Grand Rabbi, the Rebbe as they call him, Menachem Mendel Schneerson, who died in 1994 at the age of 92, he believes that he is actually the Messiah. And Mendel, thanks for calling back. You made a statement on the air that the Jews of your particular religious persuasion called Lubavitcher Hasidic Jews, that most of them believe that your late Grand Rabbi is actually the Messiah, but they're afraid to say it because of the controversy. I asked a colleague of mine who is a Lubavitch rabbi in another location what he thought of that, and he said that in his opinion that most Lubavitchers believe that when the Messiah does appear that it will be the Rebbe. So I found that very interesting. You're convinced that he is the Messiah, and obviously you understand why many other traditional Jews reject that. He died in 1994. That's a long time ago. Are you surprised that nothing's happened since?
No, not at all. In fact, I find that the prophecies that the Lubavitcher Rebbe Melech HaMashiach made, starting with 1991, most recently, and before that, as well, are all coming to fulfillment. In 1991, the Rebbe talked about how the war that was happening in the Gulf region was a fulfillment of what it says in the Yalkut Shmoni. That's a famous book within Judaism that has prophetic messages in it, where it says that when you see in Paras at the time was referring to Iran, but in particular now it refers to Iraq, making a war with Melech Arvi, that's the king, an Arab king, which was Kuwait at that time. And then Aram, the exalted nation, the superpower, being the United States, gets into it. The whole world will be tittering, will be shaking and quaking. What's going to be? What's going to be? Especially the Jewish people. They'll say, where should we go? What should we do? And the Rebbe says that at that time, the Messiah will speak to the Jewish people and say, B'ni, Al Tisro, my son, don't be afraid. All I've done for your sake. The time of your redemption has arrived. The Rebbe told us at that time that this would not be what other sages were saying at the time, that it would be a war the likes of which we hadn't seen since the Second World War, that there would be chemical attacks, that it would be the great loss of life.
Instead, all right, tell you what, stay right there. We've got a break. We come back, I want to challenge you on something and say that the Rebbe did not suffer for the sins of Israel. Jesus, the Messiah, did.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on The Line of Fire, 866-348-7884. Welcome to this Thoroughly Jewish Thursday broadcast. I was speaking with an Orthodox Jew, ultra-Orthodox Jew in Baltimore, Mendel, who believes that his late deceased Rabbi Menachem Mendel Schneerson is the Messiah.
And I'll tell you why I believe that, besides many other proofs taken from the Rambam, Maimonides, which is codified into Jewish law from the prophets themselves. The Rebbe said in 1991, in his public address of Parsha Shabbos Shoftim, he said that according to Torah law, Maimonides, Yesodei HaTorah, that's what I just cited, chapter 7, there is a prophet in our generation, and we're required to heed his directives. The Rebbe said it must be publicized to all members of the generation that we have merited, that God has chosen a person endowed with free choice who is incomparably higher than the members of his generation as the judge, counselor, and prophet of the generation to provide instruction and advice pertaining to the service of all Jews.
But Maimonides contradicted Torah and contradicted the Bible, so why should I follow Maimonides?
Well, I would have to disagree with you on that, because Maimonides was the leading decisor of Jewish law, and even up to today.
But Maimonides, in his introduction to his commentary in the Mishnah, says that the majority rules based on a misinterpretation of Exodus 23:2. It's the opposite of what the Hebrew words say there. I mean, anyone reading it understands that. And on top of that, he said that if you have 1,000 prophets of the caliber of Elijah and 1,001 sages, rabbis, that the decision of the sages overrules the words of the prophets because the majority rules. So it's a fundamental principle that completely undermines Torah law and undermines the voice of the prophets. So why would I follow Maimonides, no matter what he says, with all respect to his genius and what he codified and other things like that, but why would I follow him when he contradicted Torah and overruled the words of the prophets?
Well, I wouldn't follow Maimonides either if he did that.
But he did.
Maimonides, in fact, was said at his time to be the Messiah. There were people who called him that.
But hang on. I just want to stay on this one point. I don't know if you have. I imagine you have this memorized. But in Exodus chapter 23, verse 2, this of course is miscited in the Talmud in Bava Metzia 59b as well, where it says Achrei Rabim Lahatot. Here I'll read it from the New Jewish Version. The whole verse: you shall neither side with the mighty to do wrong, nor shall you give perverse testimony in dispute, so as to pervert it in favor of the mighty or the many. So do not follow the multitude to pervert justice, is what it's saying. And it gets taken out of context in both the Talmud and Maimonides. Maimonides defends it as the proper meaning of the Hebrew words to say that you follow the majority. The majority is often wrong. And that's what's hurt Judaism through the centuries, is that the prophetic voice of Jesus, the Messiah, was overruled by the majority of people or by key leaders. So Maimonides is contradicting Torah and setting and contributing to a mentality that resists the prophetic word, so the prophet will not be recognized. So I just want to know how you can follow him when he contradicts Torah.
Well, of course, I wouldn't follow him if he contradicted Torah. And he happens to be one of the greatest decisors of Jewish law who ever lived. But rather than get bogged down in this, what I really...
No, but it's important. It's important. I quoted a verse to you that the Talmud and Maimonides use in the foundational way the opposite of what it says, and Maimonides defends that as the meaning of the Hebrew. That's blatantly wrong. I mean, that's severely wrong, and it's foundationally. It's foundationally important.
Well, you know as well as I do, Michael, that when it comes to the famous Gemara, which spoke about hearing a voice from heaven versus what the sages were saying at the time, that the answer was from the sages, we don't listen to the voice from heaven. We listen to what our sages tell us, because God gave them the injunction to be the teachers to the entire Jewish people, the rabbis, the judges, and therefore when it comes to an apparent dispute between what a voice from heaven says and what the sages say, we follow what the sages say. If they tell you to go to the left, when you think you should go to the right, you go to the left.
All right, so everyone understands this, there's a dispute between the sages and one of the leading sages of the generation, early second century, so Eliezer ben Hyrcanus, and they're disputing about a particular oven, whether it's clean or not, called the Achnai oven. And in the dispute, he says, okay, if the legal ruling is according to me, because he answered all of their questions. So he had the better logic. They didn't receive it because they had the majority. So then he asked for miraculous confirmation. You know, may the carob tree be uprooted. May the stream stop in its course. May the walls of this building start to collapse. And he gets miraculous confirmation on every point, and they still don't listen because they're the majority. So they ignore his logic. They ignore miraculous confirmation. And then there's a divine voice, literally a bat kol, so a daughter of a voice. There is this voice from heaven saying, why are you arguing with him? The ruling is according to him. And they jump up and say, the Torah is not in heaven. It's the majority that rules. They misquote the end of Exodus 23 to make it say that it says, do not follow the majority to do evil. They quote it to say, follow the majority. So they overrule logic. They overrule miraculous confirmation. Overrule the voice from heaven. And you're supporting that. How can that be, sir?
No, Michael, that's false. You made a non sequitur there. You said that don't follow the majority to do evil. These people were not doing evil. They're doing precisely what God told them, that I give over to you the right and the obligation to interpret the law and to judge cases. But let's get on to another topic.
So you acknowledge the text is being misused, that it's opposite.
Not at all. They weren't doing evil.
All right, but hang on. How in the world can we even talk about something as esoteric as your belief that your deceased rabbi is the Messiah? I can demonstrate for you that Messiah had to come and die and rise before the Second Temple was destroyed. So he's 2,000 years late anyway. But that being the case, when we can't even agree on the meaning of words, you want to talk, say, you know, dispute the theory of relativity, and you won't even agree that 2 + 2 does not equal 5.
You read into it do evil, meaning that they went against the bas kol. That is not a proper reading of evil. What they did was they, as I said before, precisely followed what God told them, that they are the ones to teach the Jewish people the law, not any bas kol, nothing coming from heaven.
Now, well, where does it say it? But here, Deuteronomy 18, and here's why I'm pressing it, because you're quoting from Maimonides talking about a prophet in every generation. That's Deuteronomy 18. But the very Maimonidean system says don't listen to the prophet, listen to the majority. That means, sir, please understand this, based on your own statement from Maimonides, based on the Talmud, based on what he articulates in his introduction to his Mishnah commentary, that you should not follow the Rebbe, because the majority of the Jewish world and the majority of Jewish leadership say he is not the Messiah. Therefore, you should abandon your belief in him based on that principle.
Okay, so now you helped me to get into where I wanted to go. Now, tell me where you think this comes from. Behold, my servant should be very wise. When the time of the redemption comes, Mashiach will understand and know that the time for his revelation to the people that have longed for him has come. There will be wicked ones who will revile and blaspheme Mashiach, this because of his great delay, and they will not believe in him at all. Those that are enlightened will understand that now is the true end of the exile and will await him, a man of pains. Mashiach is pained over the sins of the Jewish people, which have caused his delay and withheld him from being king over his people, and acquainted with sickness, one who is sick and is in constant anguish over his pain. Sickness can refer to pain that comes as a result of great longing, or it can mean actual sickness that comes from anguish. Indeed, he has borne our sickness. He suffers over the sins for which we should be sick and suffer from, and the pain which we ought to feel. He endures their intensity, for he anguishes over them. And by his injury, we are healed. The injury over which he suffers heals us. For Hashem, but now you're getting a clue of where this is coming from, for Hashem forgives us. And
So just to jump in, of course, it started with Isaiah 52:13, Hinei Yaskil Avdi, those words. And now it's been It's been weaving, in other words, from Isaiah 53 of Ahavra to Nir Palanu and things like that, and by his wounds were healed, those concepts. But the larger quote is obviously not from Scripture, and it's not from Talmud, and it's not from the most ancient of the Midrashic compilations. So we've got another break. I'm going to keep you on with me, Mendel, but what source were you reading from, sir?
Well, it's going to be a shock to you, but it comes from the Igaris Ramban, from the letters of Ramban. Volume
1,
but... page 322. Most people
Perfect.
Would tell me I'm reading from a Christian source.
No, 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 no. You've helped my cause more than you realize. But as I said, I recognized it was not from Talmud or ancient Midrash, so it's from 12th century. But thank you for reading it.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to the Line of Fire broadcast, 866-348-7884. All right, so Mendel, just so I can jot this down, because I, with all the reading I've done, I have not read that source in full, so... The
citation
the source,
is Letters of the Ramban, Volume 1, page 322. And those who are familiar with Jewish history know that the Ramban had a famous debate at the cost of his life with somebody called Pablo, and that person was a converso.
Yeah, Pablo Christiani. Of course, we have primarily the reports as they were passed on by Jewish sources. Yes, yeah, so Ramban is in the generation. He's 12th. 13th century, the generation after Rambam, right? And I've only read excerpts of that, not the whole of it. So
Michael, I'm not helping your cause. I wouldn't call if I thought I was. I want the listeners to know that where Christian thinking coincides with Jewish thinking, because originally Christians were Jews, that Jewish people like myself, or Orthodox Jews in general, or even my particular group, have nothing to fear, because we don't give up a mikvah, a ritual pool that we go to before Shabbos and before holidays to become spiritually purified, because the Christians have taken it over and called it a baptism pool. We don't do anything that stops the Jewish teachings and practices and customs that we have just because Christians have taken over. I'll give you one good example. Lubavitchers, when they go to sleep at night, when they say the nighttime prayer on the bed, let me correct that. In the morning when we wake up and we say, Moda ani lefanecha, to thank God for giving back our soul, we put our two hands together underneath our chin and we say, Moda ani lefanecha melechai v'kayam. We thank God for giving back our souls. So we haven't strayed away from that. We still put our hands together like that, even though Christians do it. I'm not hurting our cause. I'm helping our cause. People who are interested in this can go to Psak, P-S-A-K, D-I-N, D-I-N,
yeah,
dot net.
Let me just say this, Mendel, just real quick, just so you're clear. I know it's not your intent to help our cause, but in point of fact, there are Lubavitchers who've come to faith in Jesus the Messiah because they've realized that they were rejecting the true Messiah all these years. And whether you know it or not or understand it or not, God is actually using the teaching about Menachem Schneerson being the Messiah to help Jewish people come to faith in Jesus the Messiah, because we recognize, he did have to die. He did have to suffer. He did have to rise. The fact is, he's also already become a light to the Gentiles. He has also fulfilled that aspect of the prophetic words that he was rejected by his people, but he has become a light to the Gentiles. Who is it? Jesus, the Messiah. And he had to do all this before the Second Temple was destroyed. So, Mendel, I believe that you are deeply sincere. I don't question your devotion. I don't question the way you live. I applaud you for persevering in the midst of difficulty. I just want to say that you're on the right track. You just haven't gotten to the destination yet. I would love to help you get there.
Well, you know what, obviously, Michael, Jews for Judaism, of which I was a part, one of them made a call to me, Motzei Shabbos, a couple of weeks ago. His name was Eli Cohen, and I think you know him.
Sure.
And he said that maybe I shouldn't be even engaging with you. But my point is that I, by engaging with you, can speak to your Jewish listeners, and I can tell them to go to AskMoses.com and the Gentile listeners to go to AskNoah.com and also to NoahHides.org to get further information. But the reason I don't, I told Jews for Judaism when I was with them once that we don't have any fear of telling the truth, Jewish truth, because in the beginning when it talks about God creating the world, the word is Elohim. And people have mistaken that to mean it's a plurality, because if you know anything about Hebrew, there's Yachid and there's Rabin, and it seems to be talking about a plurality. So then we have immediately after that the statement, let those who are going to make a mistake.
Yeah, hey, listen, I just need to jump in, though, because our time is short. Understand this. I'm giving you radio time, 100% convinced that those truly seeking God will find Jesus Yeshua as Messiah.
And I
know you have a purpose. I'm giving you free radio time across the country, and then we actually pulled the clip of our interview last time and put it up on YouTube just separately so people could hear it. I just want you to know that what Eli Cohen and others have said to you is exactly right. You are, without knowing it, and Lubavitcher Rebbe, without knowing it, and Lubavitchers that believe he's the Messiah, without knowing it, are strengthening the hands of all those who've recognized Jesus as Messiah. You want to hear a prophecy, Mendel? Before Lubavitcher Rebbe died, before he died, I told this to people. I just didn't have the time to print up tracts. I wanted to print them up in Hebrew and Yiddish. I didn't get to it. I said, when he gets sick, they're going to say he's suffering for our sins. Of course, they started quoting from Isaiah 53, and even as a lamb before shears is dumb, or before a slaughter is dumb, so he doesn't open his mouth when he has a stroke. I said, when he dies, they're going to immediately say his death was an atonement for this generation, and then they're going to speak of his resurrection. What surprised me was that they also began to speak some of his divine nature. That surprised me. Some began to speak of his second coming. That's why Professor David Berger raised the issues that he did. So I understand your purposes, and as long as it's not every week or something like that, I'm happy to continue the discussion. I'm totally happy to do it. It's educational anyway. It's educational, it's fascinating, and that's a great goal of my shows. I want people to be educated, learn, and think. Friends, explore the credentials. Jesus, Yeshua, the Messiah, or Menachem Mendel Schneerson, the Messiah. By all means, explore. And Mendel, God willing, one of these days we'll run into each other and we can talk further face to face. But glad to give you the free airtime because I've got nothing to fear. And I think you're helping the cause of the gospel more than you realize. May the Lord open your eyes to who Jesus Yeshua really is. Friends, we are encouraging you to be in prayer, and I'm personally asking you to be in prayer as I write day and night, Authentic Fire, with joy, 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 Authentic Fire, the response to John MacArthur's Strange Fire, but not just a rebuttal of him, but an eye-opening, edifying book that will, you'll be oohing and aahing, just, wow, I didn't know, I never knew that, or I didn't see it like this, I think you'll be blessed. So order your copy today. We alone have the print edition. It'll come out in ebook too, a little over a month. But you can get the print edition exclusively through our ministry. Call right now. Number is 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. One more time. 1-800-278-9978. Or you can go to askdrbrown.org right on the homepage in order to stand with us. And if you haven't signed in yet, to join us on our Israel tour, that's all on the website, AskDrBrown.org. And Mendel, thank you. Thank you, sir, for the call. My bottom line today, explore it. Look into it in depth. Find out if Jesus Yeshua really is the divine Messiah of Israel. You will not be disappointed.